A phasagoraphobia. If you weren't looking up here, you probably thought I just sneezed. It wasn't a sneeze. That's a real word, a phasagoraphobia. It's a real word, it's a real thing, it's a dangerous thing. In fact, it can even be a life-threatening thing. And here's the really bad news. You probably have it. You probably have it. A phasagoraphobia, you probably have it. And you know what it is? It's the fear of being forgotten. There's a psychologist named Devin Ray, and he published a study on a phasagoraphobia earlier this year. It was in February. So see, if nothing else, you get to take a new vocab word home with you tonight, right? A phasagoraphobia. Anyway, he published this study in February of this year, and what the study found was that if you have this, if you are afraid of being forgotten, or if you at some level have this fear, you've got a good reason to have it, really. It does, after all, happen to us all the time. We get forgotten. Usually it's in small ways, not in big ways. Usually it's, you know, somebody forgets an interaction that you had or forgets about something about your life that you've told them or something like that. Devin Ray's study found that the reaction to being forgotten was just universally negative. You know, no matter how small the thing was that was forgotten, no matter how good the reason for it being forgotten, and no matter how close the relationship you have with the individual, Ray found that the experience of being forgotten was always negative, and it always made people feel unimportant. Now, you don't need a psychology degree to figure that out, right? I mean, it's pretty easy to kind of put those dots together. In fact, I mean, the fact that our word exists, the fact that a phasagoraphobia is a thing, I mean, it tells us that there's good reason for having this fear of being forgotten. And frankly, you don't even need to know that much because you've been there. You've been forgotten. You've felt unimportant before. You've felt devalued. You've felt left out. We're in the David story this Advent, and today we're talking about or looking at David's anointing as king, or at least his first anointing as king. And it didn't go the way that anybody expected when he was anointed, least of all Samuel. You know, Samuel is sent to Jesse's town, to Bethlehem. And remember, we talked about Ruth and Naomi on Sunday. This is two generations later, and it's in the same town. We're back in Bethlehem, and Samuel's gone to find the king. And he knows what he's doing, but nobody else knows what's really going on. And so when he gets there, he looks at Jesse's eldest son, Eliab, and it's everything that Samuel thinks a king ought to be. He's everything that Samuel thinks a king should look like. And if he looks like a king, then this must be the guy, right? That's what Samuel thought in our reading. But wrong. I mean, you know the story. We just read it, right? The whole line of Jesse's sons go by Samuel, and God keeps saying, not him, and not him, and not him. And every time Samuel's thinking, well, it must be this one. And finally, we get all the way to the end of the line, and they're all gone. And so Samuel turns to Jesse, and he goes, do you have any other sons? And in my mind, at least, Jesse has to think a minute. And he goes, oh yeah, well there's David, right? But in the text he says, but David's the youngest. And what's more, he's back behind the sheep right now. I mean, talk about being forgotten. Talk about being overlooked. The prophet of God has come into town and all your brothers get to go and you get left behind to tend the sheep. And then the guy asks about you, and they got to bring you out. In fact, Samuel has to say, we're not sitting down until he gets here. Talk about being forgotten and feeling overlooked. But here's the key in the story. The key in the story is what God says to Samuel. Listen, this is what he says. The Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I mean, think about that for a minute. A word for tonight, a phasagoraphobia, the fear of being forgotten, the fear of being left out and being overlooked. I mean, here in this story, it's David's own father that forgets him, that overlooks him. It's David's own father, his earthly father, who pays no attention to him whatsoever, takes no notice. But the Lord looks at the heart. You know what that means? It means that you have a God, and so does David, who knows you better than you know yourself. You have a God who not only can, but does see things in you that you can't even see in yourself. Devin Ray's study found that the closer the relationship was between the two people, the experience of being forgotten was still negative, but the closer the relationship was, the less negative the experience became. In other words, if your best friend forgets something about you, it still hurts, but it hurts a lot less. And why? Because you know that person loves you and cares about you and knows you. And so what if there were a relationship in which you could never be forgotten because the other party was all-knowing? What if there was a relationship in which you would never be forgotten because the other party knew you so incredibly well that they couldn't possibly forget? What if there was a relationship in which you were so assured of the other party's love that you knew that when they said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," they were telling you the absolute truth? It's not like that in our families. It's not. I mean, even the closest family is still full of sinners. Even the closest family is full of people who will drop the ball from time to time. When you gather together with your extended family, if you do one of those family gatherings, we do those about once a year in my family, and usually ours are in the summer, but you end up having to re-explain time and again what's going on in your life if you haven't seen these people for a while. You have to re-explain time and again how everything's going. Sometimes you even have to reintroduce maybe your spouse to them. Earthly families fall short. They do. It's not that they don't love us, but sometimes we get forgotten. Sometimes in small ways, sometimes in big ways, because they're full of sinners. And you know what? Your church family is no different. It's full of sinners too. Sinners who will drop the ball and forget about major things and minor things that are going on in your life. Athazagoraphobia is a real thing because we have this experience of being forgotten all the time. Sometimes in small ways, sometimes in big ways. Your relationship with God is the one place, it's the one place that that fear can actually be relieved. It's the one place that you can lose your fear of being forgotten. You know why? Because perfect love drives out fear. That's what Scripture tells us. Perfect love drives out fear. You have a God who loves you enough to send His Son to die for you. You have a God who loves you enough to come to earth, and even at 12 years old, to say, "It is necessary that I be about the things of my Father. It is necessary that I be doing the things that God wants me to do," which means living to teach us and dying to save us and rising so that we would rise and knowing us better than we know ourselves. See, here's the amazing thing. God searches the heart. And you know, for your fear of being forgotten, that might be the scariest thing of all, that God searches the heart. Maybe that's the scariest thing of all when we're thinking about being left out and we're afraid of being left behind because, I mean, we're probably afraid pretty often that if God searches the heart, He's not going to find a heart that's worth very much at all. He's not going to find a heart that's worth remembering. He's going to find a heart that is full of evil thoughts and evil desires. David's called a man after God's own heart in Scripture. And you know what God sees when He looks into David's heart? It's the same thing He sees when He looks into yours and when He looks into mine. Evil thoughts and evil desires. You know, we often get this idea that David has like a really pure heart or something like that, and that's why God chooses him. But I think if he found anything, what he would have found was a heart of repentance, a heart that knew its need for a Savior. Because when he looked in David's chest, he looked into the heart from which these words flowed. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He found no pure heart when he searched David's, and he won't find a pure heart when he searches yours either. But here's the real cure for our fear of being forgotten. God doesn't forget you, even though your heart isn't pure. God looks at you, he looks into your heart, and he says, I love you so much that I'm going to make your heart pure personally. That I'm going to send Jesus so that you can be saved and so that you can be with me. See, that's assurance. That's the assurance that we need, that even when we are sinners, even when we are repulsive in the eyes of God, even when we're not at all what he's looking for, when he searches our hearts, even when we're not worth remembering, he would say, you are my family. You are mine, and I'm going to fix you. Your family gatherings this year, they're not going to be perfect. They're going to be complicated. Maybe they'll be awkward. Maybe they'll be painful. Maybe you will feel overlooked and bullied and forgotten. But you will not be. That's the message for us tonight. You will not be, at least not by your heavenly Father, even if you are by your earthly Father. If you feel alone this Christmas season, do not forget the God who searches the heart. Do not forget the God who knows you better than you know yourself. Do not forget the God who sent Jesus so that you could be his. Because one thing is certain, he will not forget you. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.